come from Galatians 5. We're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to jump down to verses 13 through 15. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. This is Galatians 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Then jumping down to verses 13 through 15. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another.
Good morning. So thankful to be with you this morning. So thankful that you're here. If you have opportunity, come back this evening at 5 p.m. for our second service. We encourage you to do so, especially if you are a visitor. We would love to have you back with us this evening. These past few weeks, I have seen a lot of love and support, and we want to render thank you to everyone who has made phone calls, offered prayers, sent cards. That is truly a display of your heart and attitude, and how you are willing to help those who need it and to comfort those who need comforting. We also had a great opportunity to see members of our own congregation serving at Short Mountain Bible Camp, which was very exciting and a thrilling opportunity for us to see young people get served the gospel, get counseled, get mentored and led. And it wasn't mentioned, but I believe, Devontae, that was your first baptism there, right? That's awesome. Yeah, very thankful for that as well. And then lastly, yesterday evening at the 50th anniversary, which was mentioned by Donnie, we got to serve the community water and literature, giving them information by which if they follow, they can be saved. So we've seen a lot of acts of love in the past few weeks, and so I want to try to capitalize off of that success. We don't want to remain stagnant. We want to try to improve. We want to keep pushing forward in our acts of love. And this falls into the category of our action plan. If you don't have service, if you don't have acts of love, then you have a congregation that's dying, that's not growing. And that is what we're trying to do. We're trying to grow as a congregation. And in doing so, you will grow in your participation of the gospel and serving people. So how can we improve in our acts of service towards one another? How can we develop that heart and mindset that truly desires to serve our fellow brethren? Because naturally, we are self-serving. We are not service-giving to others, but we're self-serving. And so it's going to be difficult for us to come out of something that's ingrained within us because we are naturally selfish people. We know how to take care of ourselves, but it's difficult, and the real challenge comes in serving our fellow brethren, serving our fellow man. How do we do this? And I think it starts here. How can we develop that heart and attitude? How can we be better servants of Christ in serving one another out of the love that He's displayed for us? It comes with this realization. Knowing that Christ has set you free frees you from the bondage of things like selfishness. It frees you from those constraints that hold us back, and it allows us to excel, allows us to grow in our acts of service. So when we start from this foundation, when we start with this understanding that Christ has set us free, He's freed us from bondage, then we can begin to improve. So we're free to serve. That's what I want us to emphasize and focus on. Because of freedom, we are now free to serve. And the text that was so capably read for us from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And then he goes on in the rest of that passage, do not be getting entangled with the yoke of bondage. Now, what does he set us free from? He set us free from bondage. Now, what is bondage? Contextually, within this passage of Galatians, he's pointing out two things. He set us free from the bondage of the law of Moses. That yoke of bondage from the law of Moses, the ceremonial feast, the feast days, the unclean and clean foods. How about circumcision? We no longer have to follow those dictates from the law of Moses. Christ has set us free from those things. But skip down to, look over at Galatians chapter 3 for a moment. Galatians chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 10, and we're going to look at another aspect that he set us free from. So the ceremonial laws, and here's the next one, verse 10 of Galatians 3. For as many as us as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yes, the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Here it is, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Christ sacrificed himself, died on the cross, and by doing so, he became a curse for us and freed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed us, purchased us back. He's freed us from that bondage. But that doesn't exclude all the things that Christ has freed us from. If you would, turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and I want you to see one other aspect that Christ has freed us from the bondage of. 2 Peter chapter 2, we'll begin in verses 18, and he's dealing with false teachers who have come in and they've sold individuals a false gospel, bad information. It's not the good news, but it would be false news. They've subverted the truth of Christ, and he's encouraging these Christians not to fall victim to this bad information. Look at verse 18 of 2 Peter chapter 2. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, that's freedom, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage, into slavery. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. So these individuals have the knowledge of the truth. They've been set free by Christ. They've been set free from the ceremonial laws. They've been set free from the curse of the law. But not only that, they've been set free from the corruption and pollution that's in the world. What's that? Sin. They've been set free by sin. And that includes us. And so he's encouraging us and reminding us and teaching us, you've been made free by Jesus Christ who died for you on the cross, and now you don't have to allow sin to reign in your mortal bodies any longer. Sin doesn't have control over you. It doesn't have the final say any longer. Christ does. You don't have to become a slave to it. You're no longer in bondage to those things. The world doesn't have control over you any longer. Just like the law of Moses. Just like the curse of the law. You've been free from those things. So now, we've been free. We're free to serve. Galatians chapter 5. Turn back to Galatians and let's look at verse 13, which is our next text that was read for us. For you, brethren, have been called to freedom, to liberty, because Christ has set us free. Only do not use your liberty, your freedom, as an opportunity for the flesh. What's that? That's the bondage of the world. That's the sin, the corruption, the pollution that we mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 2. We've been set free from those things. So we no longer have to use our freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But here is, but through love, what? Serve one another. Now, what would we call that service? Acts of love. Because Christ has loved me, I should love you through doing good, rendering kindness, supporting one another. That's what we've been set free to do. We're free to serve one another out of love. Now, what does that practically look like? If you have an individual who's been praying for you, what should you do to them? Pray for them. If you have a person who's helped you in any capacity, what should you do for them? Help them. If a person has supported you, if they've assisted you, you should help support them and assist them. What do we call that? It's the golden rule. Matthew chapter 7, verses 12. Whatever you want men to do unto you, do also unto them. For that is the law and the prophets. That's the fulfillment of what God has given us. That's God's aim for us as Christians. Our life with God, our relationship, our fellowship with Him is out of love for love. God has displayed love for us. He's demonstrated it for us on the cross. And because of that, we're free to serve one another in love. Now I'm free to love you. Not to go back to bondage, not to go back to slavery, not to go back to selfishness. We become selfless, not selfish, because we've been set free. We're free to serve. Now, we don't serve self, we serve one another through love. And that's what Paul is trying to get at in this section of Scripture. So we don't use it as an opportunity to indulge in selfish behavior and sinful desires. We don't use it as an opportunity for self-indulgence. We don't use freedom as an excuse to sin more. What passage does that remind you of, which is a sister epistle to the book of Galatians? Romans. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. If you go back to Romans chapter 5 in that context, he's talking about how Christ has come, demonstrated great love for us, set us free, and even though we were ungodly sinners, we had no relationship with him, Christ came and died for us while we were enemies. Then in chapter 6 of Romans, he said, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer is, God forbid. No. That's the incorrect response to Christ setting us free. That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong mindset. That's going back to selfishness. And we can't do that. And again, the way I started this and the introduction to it is, I've seen a lot of selfless acts lately. And so I just want to strongly urge you and encourage you to continue down that path. And the way in which you do it is realizing you've been set free. You no longer have to let sin reign in your mortal bodies. It doesn't have control over you anymore. Grace now dictates your behavior. And now we're servants of Christ. Now we serve Him and we're slaves to Him. If you continue reading in Romans, which I strongly encourage you to do, and we don't have time for it today, but you read the rest of Romans chapter 6, and it corresponds with what Peter had mentioned. Since Christ has set us free, we're no longer slaves to let sin reign in our mortal bodies. Now we're servants, slaves to Jesus Christ. Now we're enchained, entangled to Him, which is good news. It's not a bad thing, but it's good news because He set us free from destruction. This is awe-inspiring for us. This is an amazing teaching. So what Paul is trying to get at in Galatians and in Romans, and what Peter is trying to mention, and what makes this so unique and so special, so amazing for us, is that what he's setting us up for in our lives is that because of freedom, because of liberty, now it's just that I get to do what I want to do, But now I'm free to do what God wants me to do. And unfortunately, that's not a popular teaching. You know, many people use Galatians chapter 5 and that teaching that Christ has given us liberty, he's given us freedom to indulge the flesh, to behave in ungodly manners. And they say, well, God has set me free. He's done so out of love. He's rendered mercy to me. Now I get to go and live and behave however I want. And that just is a wrong response. It's not the way that God wants us to live. And so what Paul is actually teaching and what I just said, now we're free to do what God wants us to do, not what we want to do. So he's given us this transformed thinking, this renewed mind that reminds us of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. He's given us this change of behavior to now give service. But too often we take God's commands, we take God's standard, and we lower it to something just like, oh, well, it's my obligation, it's my duty. Now I'm just following a set of rules. And that's not from the heart. When we realize that Christ has truly granted us liberty and freedom to serve him, then we understand that I have this desire and I have this built-in understanding within my heart that I want to, not that I have to. Someone who believes that, oh, I have to come to service, I have to perform acts of love, I have to sing songs, I have to pray for my brethren, I have to support someone who's hurting because it's part of my obligation, it's part of my right, it's part of my job as a Christian. That's the wrong attitude. And it will never be successful, and I guarantee you this, it won't be lasting. It will be short-lived. What lasts long, what gives us that motivation, what gives us that energy, is that realization that now I'm free to serve God because he loved me so much that now I get to walk in his footsteps and follow his example. That's the motivation. That's what makes this, again, so amazing for us. So now we lift up God's standard to perform acts of love. Now we have the correct mindset. Now it's from genuineness. Now it's from sincerity. Now it's from a truly changed heart. It's no longer I must or I have to. I need to schedule it. I need to pin it off my list. Now it's I look forward to it. I'm seeking to do that. I'm seeking to live that different life that's not enslaved to sin anymore, but that's enslaved to Christ. Now I serve him through love. Turn your Bibles back to Galatians 5, and if you're already there, let's look at the rest of verse 13 into 14. Because this is what Paul has been trying to get at. Love your neighbor as thyself. And this is what we've been alluding to this entire time. And this crystallizes the whole fulfillment and summary of God's word. Not as an opportunity of the flesh, but through love serve one another. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let me ask you a question. When you read verse 14, what is that one word? All the law is fulfilled in one word. What would you say that one word is? It's right there. Love. The whole Christian system, everything that God has given us through the Bible, the whole Old Testament into the New Testament, why he had prophets, why God spoke to people, what he was trying to get at, the aim of God's message is love. Is that the way that we're living? Do we understand that? Because if we do, then we'll live selflessly. We'll be pursuing opportunities to serve. We'll desire to do it because it's built, because we understand what God wants for us. And he's displayed it for us on the cross. What would you say would be unloving? I mean, you could go to Romans or 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to the love chapter, and you can list all of the action words, the verbs through there. Be patient, be kind, and you would be correct in doing that. But if you were to give an opposite list, what would you call that list? You would call it unloving acts. That was Galatians 5:13. You would call it unloving acts. And when you read past Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, in the text we read, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When you read the very next verse, Paul is getting to what we should try and avoid, the unloving things. And unloving acts causes us to do what? Look at verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So instead of serving one another, instead of building up each other, instead of edifying other Christians, supporting them, praying for them, seeking opportunity to try and help them, instead of doing those things, we're doing what? We're chewing each other apart. You know what that reminds me of? Have you ever seen a wolf pack on prey? Or a lion, after the lionesses catch the carcass? They're devouring this meat. They're chomping through it. They're ripping the meat apart. And that's the imagery that Paul's trying to give us. Don't be like animals. Act like Christians. Christians understand they've been set free to serve God through love. Animals tear each other apart. So we want to avoid this unloving mistake. Because why? It's easy. It's easy to tear down. It's hard to build up. It's easy to destroy something. I mean, who's ever had to take down a building or take down a structure? You know, when we went to Florida, the kids would build sandcastles. And our three-year-old would come in like Godzilla or King Kong, and he would destroy the sandcastle. Now, which would you say is more difficult, to build the sandcastle or to destroy it? Destroying it is much easier. It's much more difficult to build the structure. And it was very disappointing and disheartening for the kids who had spent so much time trying to build things up for someone to come in and just rip it apart. That's exactly what Paul is telling the church of Galatia. Build each other up. A lot of work has gone into it. And again, I've noticed that with this congregation, especially as of lately. We've had a lot of building up. We've had a lot of things that we can build off of and we can capitalize off of. And let's make sure that we do that. Let's make sure that we realize, hey, that we got a lot of good things going on here. We got a lot of church growth happening. We got a lot of new members here. We got a lot of opportunities ahead of us. Let's make sure that we follow up with those things and avoid this unloving mistake of sitting back and chewing each other apart. We don't want to do that. So what do we do now? Well, let me give you two applications to this, and then the lesson is going to be yours. Two things that I want you to consider. Now that you realize Christ has set you free, now you can serve Him through love. Two things. Look for ways to serve. Look for opportunities. They're out there. If you're looking for opportunities, if you're looking to work within the church, you can find these opportunities. We have plenty of people that need visitation. We have plenty of people that need your support. We have plenty of work and things scheduled ahead of us. That you can look at and you can sign up for. Dan had mentioned some things that we can sign up for. The singing coming up, you can lead a song. We have classes that you can sign up for and try and teach. There's multitude of opportunities for us if we're looking for them. Let's say that you've sought some opportunities and you can't find them. What can you do next? Make some. Create opportunities. Look for opportunities. Create opportunities. Look for ways, inventive ways, that you can serve through love. Maybe someone mentions something that you haven't thought about before and you're able to fulfill that for them. Then be that individual. You have an elderly person that comes up to you and says, hey, you know what? Some things are falling apart at the house. I need some assistance. And you go, hey, this is perfect. Now I can create an opportunity to go and serve this individual. Look for ways, create some ways. Because why? We're all free to serve because of the love that was rendered to us. Now it's not just an obligation, it's not just a duty. I mean, that's part of the system, but it's because we want to. We want to serve because we've been so greatly served by our Lord and Savior. If you're not a Christian and you're here this morning, what are you waiting on? Are you waiting for someone to come along and give you further instruction? Do you have some questions? Then stick around and let us try to help you answer those questions and find solutions to the problems that you're facing. Maybe those things are kind of holding you back from becoming a Christian. Well, you're not only holding yourself back, but you're holding this congregation back because this congregation needs your help in the acts of love that we're trying to accomplish. So the church needs you. And we want you to live that life and have fellowship with God. If you're a Christian who has become entangled with the affairs of this life and the things of this world, then we strongly urge you to come back to the truth. Come back to Jesus. Begin to serve out of a true, genuine desire for God again. If you need any help this morning, if you need any assistance, come forward as we stand and we sing.